Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. We are going to continue our journey into the book of Mark by looking at the book of Mark chapter 12. Yeah, so we are going to chapter 12 today. And we have just about four more chapters to the end of the book of Mark. And that's interesting. That means we've done two books. And I want to say well done. God bless you. We're still going to do Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. We are going through the Bible. And may the Lord strengthen you even as you continue with us on this journey. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so my prayer this morning is as we look into God's word, may the entrance of God's word bring light to us and understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. I really want to encourage you to listen to yesterday's episode. If you didn't listen to it, please go back to it. So many lessons to learn. So many lessons. And Mark 12 is a very long one. But then you remember, I'm not the custodian of everything there is in Mark 12. So the purpose of our Bible study class is not for me to tell you all the lessons in each chapter of the Bible, but to give you a tip of the iceberg, you know, to kind of increase your taste bud for you to go back to Mark 12 to read for yourselves. So you're not just listening to this to think that every lesson you can learn from Mark 12 is what I'll be sharing. I mean, the Bible is so interesting that by the time I'm looking at Mark 12, the next 2-3 years, I'll be seeing more light. So that's the beautiful thing about the Bible. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 12 begins with the parable of a man who has a vineyard, you know. And basically, this man hired some vine dressers, yeah, to take care of the vineyard. And, you know, so he traveled to a far country. And then at some point, the vine dressers thought to themselves that, well, since the owner of the vineyard is not around, let us just do the vineyard the way we like. So they began to mess things up. And then, you know, at some time, the man sent his servants to the vine dressers that he might receive some fruit of the vineyard from these guys. But he took that guy, they beat the servant, sent him away. He sent another servant, the owner of the vineyard, sent another servant. They threw stones at him, wounded him in the head, sent him away. They shamefully treated the man. And then this man sent another. He kept on sending and sending and sending. You know, tells us how patient and how merciful the owner of the vineyard is. And then at the end of the day, he sent his son. And then he killed his son. You know, so at the long run, judgment came upon these guys. And what I want us to learn from this parable is the fact that we also have been saddled with the responsibility. I said something yesterday that everything you have belongs to God. I want you to begin to see everything you have as a resources that God has given to you. And you are only a steward of that resources. So that's the first lesson. Everything that you have, God gave it to you, and you are only a steward of that resources. So whatever it is, it could be your time. Your time is not just for you. God gave you your time so that you can make the best use of that time. Recently, the Holy Spirit was talking to me about my money. You see, I said my money. Actually, even your money is not your money. You know, the Holy Spirit was telling me that I need to begin to write down every little thing I spend the money with, even if it means spending it on things that are not, you know, important, as long as I'm writing it every month, do an audit, do an account. How much have I spent on this? How much have I spent on that? We are going to give account at the end of the day. The fact that God is putting money in your hands does not mean that you should not, you know, give account of how you spend that money. Don't just take the money and spend it the way you like, because then it is yours as long as you have removed your tithe. I said it yesterday that in the Old Testament, it is okay to remove 10% of your money. And then you say the 90% is yours. Whatever you want to do with the 90% does not concern God. But as a believer in the New Testament, there is nothing that we have that belongs to us in any way. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 14. What do you have that was not given to you? Why are you now acting? I'm paraphrasing that verse. Why are you not acting as though the things you have belongs to you. It does not belong to you. God gave those things to you. So even if you have 1 billion naira in your account, 10% of that money is not just for God. Every single penny belongs to God. So how do you spend it? As a matter of fact, God does not need your money. Not even your 10%, not even your 20%. But God wants you to be a good steward of the resources that He's committing into your hands. The vineyard He has given to you could be your family. How do you treat your parents? How do you treat the school that God has put you? How do you treat the pastors, the leaders that God has put in your space? How do you treat the material things that you have? Your car. Some of you have cars, but you will never allow anyone to ride the car with you. You will not pick people out after service. You know, I still see it as something really bad for you to have a car, especially when you're single. And then you're going home after church. You cannot help people, especially in a country like Nigeria, where petrol is now something very expensive. Learn to use that car. It is not yours. Remember always that that car is not yours. Your house is not yours. Some of you cannot allow visitors to come into your house because you feel that it is just for you, your wife, and your two kids. No, that house, God gave it to you. It is a mission house. You cannot help it. You need to learn to use those resources to be a blessing to others. You are going to give account to God at the end of the day. How you have used the house that He gave to you. How you have used the car that He gave to you. How you have used the money that He gave to you. You are definitely going to give account at the end of the day. So the Holy Spirit was telling me, said, every little money that goes out of your pocket, document it. Write it somewhere. At the end of the month, do an audit. Check. How much have I spent? What is taking my money? Have I given to missionaries? Do you understand? You need to learn to do this. And I pray that the Lord will give us grace and strength in Jesus' name. Because at the end of the day, judgment is coming. And then God will ask you how you have spent. Then your life, your body is also a vineyard. How do you use your body? Some of you don't rest. It's not a good way of using our body. Your body, the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Lord. So how you use your body matters a lot to God. How do you use your body? What do you do with your body? How do you dress? All of these things, we are going to give account. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. You are a servant. Always put this at the back of your mind. You are only but a steward, and you are going to give account of how you have spent your life and everything that God has given to you on earth. May God help us in Jesus' name. We go straight to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, how they, you know, attacked Jesus. We keep seeing how that these guys kept on attacking Jesus left, right, and center. So it is not a surprise to me today that a church will come online and attack another church. I mean, these guys were religious leaders. If it was an unbeliever that was attacking Jesus, it would make sense. But the people attacking Jesus were people who had the Bible. They were even the only ones who had access to the Bible, so to say, in those days. I mean, they knew God, they knew Moses, they knew Elijah, they knew John. They read the Bible, they knew what God had said. They knew the prophetic words, the prophecies. They had read the scripture page by page. They could even cram and memorize all of those things. They could say it offhand because these guys were knowledgeable. They were not just riffraffs. They were not people that we just pick up the Bible and be doing morning devotion. These guys had no other job than to study God's law. They were religious lawyers. And it was these same people that was attacking Jesus Christ. So it is not a surprise to me today to see that a church is attacking another church. But the beautiful thing is that the true church of God will always stand. Because there is that which we built on sand that at the end of the day will fall and crumble. But there is that which is built on the rock that no matter the storm, no matter the pressure, no matter the abuse, no matter the scandals that is being put at that church of God will remain strong and firm no matter what. Amen. So they came to meet Jesus. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? We've dealt with this in the book of Matthew. But one other lesson that I didn't mention when we're looking at the book of Matthew is the fact that Jesus would always give them the right answer. How? He wasn't the kind of person that would be quick to speak. He would first meditate in his heart. Why are they asking this question? It is not every question that you jump at. Think, pray. Be sensitive. Be spiritually sensitive. There are some things they ask you, you don't even answer to. Just hold on. Relax. They brought the adulterous woman to Jesus. The Bible says he bowed his head and was writing on the floor. That is Jesus trying to think. Jesus not just trying to act at the spur of the moment. You know, learn to be patient. The Bible says, be slow to speak, be quick to hear. When there is a topic coming up in church, don't be the first person to raise your hand and say, I know there will eventually be a first person to raise it. But the idea is not you being the first, but that you have thought about it. You have prayed before you answer any question. Even if God is not saying, answer it this way, at least you have put it in the hand of God and say, Father, I am going to answer this question this way. Please help me. That is you acknowledging God in all your ways. May God help us in Jesus. At the end of the day, they were put to shame. The same thing with the Sadducees. Despite the fact that they came throwing questions at Jesus, Jesus would always give them the right answer. But I want to read verse 24. The Bible says that Jesus told these guys that they don't know the scripture and they don't know the power of God. They thought they knew the scripture. So two things are very essential for every believer. Some people know the scripture, but they don't have the power. And some, they think they have the power, you know, but they don't know the Bible. They can do miracles and all of these things, but they are not good students of God's word. So both are very important. The scripture, having good knowledge of God's word, study to show yourself approved unto God, and then the power of God. Two very vital things every believer should have. And a very common scripture, verse 13 and 31, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor. And I've said it many times. There was a time someone, you know, when I was in the university, I was one of the leaders in my fellowship, and they like to call me a preacher of love, because I found out at the end of the day that everything we do in life comes down to one thing: love God, love your neighbor. May God help us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then finally, I want us just look at the widow's mite. Or before that, verse 38, beware of the scribes who desire to go out in long robes, loved greeting in marketplaces. This is just talking about be careful of hypocrisy. You know what the Bible says? What will happen to them? Say they will receive greater judgment. You know why? Because they are pretending to become who they are not. They like to make long prayers. There is nothing wrong with long prayers. But long prayers done with pretense or with hypocrisy or with the intention to get reward or to get people's appraisal is going to come with greater judgment in the final day. Be careful not to try to impress. Don't be a hypocrite. You know what you do in your private places. Bring it up to the open. Every time you want to do that thing in private, always ask yourself, can I do this thing in front of people? If you can't, then why are you deceiving yourself? Why are you making it known that you're fasting when the Bible says you shouldn't even let everyone know about it? Why are you letting everyone know that you prayed for 7 hours last week? Why? What's the point? To what end? You know, be careful of your intentions. Pray God will help us in Jesus' name. And finally, the widow's mite. Giving. Whatever it is you have, give it with the whole of your heart. Can I read the scripture? So this is the Bible, and I expect you to please, if you can, read this scripture 10 times, 20 times. Just keep reading it. Tell God to explain this verse to you. I won't do more than just reading the verse. If I have time, I'll read it twice. But listen carefully. I'm reading from the New International Version. Listen. The Bible says 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. I'll read it again. I said I was going to read it again. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. So don't just do random giving. Decide in your heart. I said I wasn't going to explain. Okay. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Now, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you for joining today's podcast. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.